Welcome, ladies and gents. I'm Lana. Joining me are two lovely ladies, Lacey and Ashley, both who you can call nationalist housewife extraordinaires. We'll talk about how to juggle being a wife and a mother in an anti-white liberal society. So stick around. Lacey and Ashley, welcome to the program. Say hi, Lacey.
Hi.
And then we have Ashley, of course.
Hello.
Love the sweater. Like it. So I want to get a little insight into both of your background, you know, before you arrived here, ready to come on to this program. So let's start with you, Lacey.
Yes, I have two boys. I'm a full-time mother, homemaker, and I am very interested in the topics of traditionalism and anti-feminism. It's pretty much my life. It's what I live every day. And now I've delved into nationalism and ready to take on that topic. I love just kind of talking about politics. I've been politically driven since high school debate team. So I'm your basic average homemaker who loves to debate.
That's great. That's good. You know, we need those well-rounded women in these times, and we'll get into that, I think, as the show progresses. But Ashley, how about you?
Oh, well, I'm 27, and I've been married for common law for 10 years.
Wow, that's great.
I have two children, and yeah, nationalism and anti-feminism and anti-globalism is kind of my interest, and that's what led me here.
Now, Ashley, were you always kind of wanting the traditional lifestyle, or what's your background?
Yes, I always wanted to be a mother, and go into traditional jobs like nursing was one of my interests. And after being home for almost 11 years, I've just started to go back to school. I don't plan to work full time. It's more of the skill set that I'm interested in.
And for some women, they're in some situations where they have to work these days. You know, a lot of women, they want to stay home, but, you know, they have to help earn extra money in these times. Now, Lacey, how about you? Have you always wanted the traditional lifestyle, or what was your background before you came to it?
Pretty much most of the time, I knew I was going to be a full-time mom. When I was 18 years old, I actually got engaged. I got married at 19, had my first baby at 20. So it was pretty much my life from early adulthood. But when I was earlier than that, a teenager, I thought that I'd go into journalism. So I'd always been interested in these topics, in anti-feminism, things like political commentary, but I always knew that I'd be a full-time mother after I fell in love and decided I wanted to get married and stay at home full-time.
Well, I really admire you two, because when I was in my 20s, oh jeez, you know, went through, you know, grunge phase, goth phase, and bands, you know, working in LA, you know, I always knew I wanted to be married, but you know, I was definitely not more traditional in my 20s, but you know, that happened for me later on, especially after I met my husband, which usually that happens for a lot of women. They say they become more traditional after they get married and have kids. Would you agree with that for a lot of women?
I think so. I mean, the statistics prove that the voting patterns of married women are more conservative than the voting patterns of non-married women. There's a reason that feminism wants to break down the family, and there's a reason that liberals want to break down the family, that progressives, that globalists want to break down the family. It's they want that control. So when you're married and you're thinking of somebody that's not yourself, you're thinking of your spouse, you're thinking of your kids, you're thinking of your family, you're thinking of your heritage, your lineage, your culture, you know, nation, everything. So it kind of just comes together more holistically when you're married, I think.
Now, we should really define what tradition and traditional means, because it really gets contorted and twisted from both the left and even some people, you know, on the right. So I guess, Ashley, we'll start with you. What is your definition of traditional?
Well, when you look back, you know, hundreds of years into even ancient European history, the women, you know, they were the homemakers. They took care of the children. They raised them, they instilled values, and the men were the masculine protectors, the hunters, the warriors, and that translates to present days, you know, but the left really wants to disrupt that and turn masculinity into toxic and they want to take femininity and turn that into oppression. And when they cause division between men and women, they use that vulnerability to indoctrinate their Marxism into society.
Yeah, no, I like what you were saying here too, that traditional is based on something old. I always say that too. It's more of a primordial traditionalism. You know, a lot of people just like to look at the 50s or the last 100 or 300 year period, but I like to go back into ancient European times and pagan times and see what the relationships were like. And for me, I mean, tradition means, you know, a man and a woman together, you're raising children, but not with liberal values. Basically values that, you know, honors heritage and nature, natural law, biology. And I think that there can be different spins to it. I don't think it really has to be by the book, you know, so to speak.
Exactly.
Lacey, how about you?
Right. Well, when I was first introduced to the word traditional, when I was in anti-feminist groups on Facebook, and I was kind of debating this egalitarian idea that men and women are exactly the same, their roles should be exactly the same, this reactionary view to feminism that is, well, if we just had an egalitarian position. And I was sitting there basically arguing for complementarianism, and that's how I first got introduced to the word traditional. When I was raised pretty conservatively, so I knew of traditional values, traditional family values, but I didn't know what that word meant until somebody said, "You're a tradcon." So I was like, "Is that a slur word? I have to Google that. What's a tradcon?" So I Googled it, and I was like, "Oh, okay, that fits." Not offended, but for me. It was at first opposition to feminism and opposition to egalitarianism. And it was the option that nobody was wanting to talk about. It was just the opposition to women having superiority over men, and also the opposition to the idea that women are exactly like men and that we can be exactly like men. So that's how I first got introduced to the traditional movement. Now, when embracing nationalism, I see it more than just an opposition to feminism. Of course, it is, but also incorporating, you know, heritage, race, culture, just nation, all of these things that go along with it, and with the addition of people like Red Eyes TV and This Week on the Alt-Right and other platforms that they have, Identity Europa. I mean, they showcase traditional European. So it doesn't matter exactly if your home life is more 50s or your home life is more hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago. It, when you embrace that tradition, whatever decade it comes from really doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're embracing something that's bigger than yourself. And it is, I like to look at the word traditional holistically. So it's anti-feminism, it's anti-globalism, it's for the nuclear family, it's for your nation. That's how I look at it. It's very holistic.
I definitely agree with that 100%. Now, when we talk about being a homemaker, now there's some homemaker extraordinaires like the blonde buttermaker who has a segment on Red Eyes, just completely adorable. Now, how much are we talking? Are you always perfectly well kept? Are you June Cleaver? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Okay. So when I talk about June Cleaver, it is because there is a strong feminist opposition towards,
of course,
the June Cleaver type.
Yeah.
And I noticed watching the show, it was kind of like a red pill for me. I didn't watch the show until I was already a full-time homemaker with two boys. And I watched the show and I said, this is almost exactly like my life. Why is this so offending to people? This is my life. So yes, I my family is very much like the Cleaver family. I do embrace a lot of traditional homing. That doesn't mean that everything is 100% perfect, but I don't think that the show is 100% perfect either. I think that people really should watch the show more. but when we're talking about traditional homemaking, it's that idea that you could learn to sew and maybe sew your own clothes, or if there's a rip in your and your clothes that you know how to fix it. You can cook from scratch. Yes, some of the old ideas, like a woman having dinner ready for her husband when he comes home, is nothing that should be offending to people. It's something that the house runs smoothly. You have time management skills. You're thinking of somebody that's more than just yourself. I see it as order. And maybe that sounds a little fashy.
No, I think it's great. It's also self-sufficiency, right? You actually know how to cook a meal or clean up or fix something. You don't have to rely on hiring someone to do everything all the time, right? No, Ashley, what about you? How much of a homemaker are you?
Oh, very traditional. You know, my husband has a very masculine, manly job. He works in a steel shop and he's gone all hours of the day. I take care of the home. I get the kids to school. I help with field trips. I attend in the classroom. I'm there to pick them up. I'm always at their beck and call, and I'm always available. So when they're sick, they can take a sick day. They're not forced to go to school. When my husband needs help, I'm there. And that's really what it's about. It's about being there for our families instead of having to rely on a daycare worker or a government worker.
Exactly. And it also, it doesn't mean, like, thinking of June Cleaver, people think that, oh, your husband expects you to wear high heels all day and makeup. Like, Ashley, you're very natural. You don't even wear any makeup. It's this idea that you have to be completely, perfectly well-kept at every moment, like a robot or something. And this is something that Hollywood has really created, right?
Yeah, they want to create that unrealistic expectation, right? But it's really not that difficult. I mean, you shower in the morning, you get yourself ready, you say, you know, I don't even own sweatpants. I try to look presentable at all times. And when that translates to your family, you know, when you take care of yourself, it's easier to take care of them. It's easier to take care of your home, and you stay in a constant state of positivity, you know?
Yeah. And Lacey, I like the pearls. I know you get attacked for the pearls, but it does look good on you. So I think it's kind of funny when we're talking about this 50s woman, because when I was in college, there's a lot of lefty girls in Portland who were trying to emulate this 50s woman, you know, this perfect woman, but they did this kind of goth spin to it. And one of the people they tried to emulate was Betty Page. Now, Betty Page started out very conservative, very innocent, and basically Hollywood got their claws into her and then turned her into this like super sexed up kitten, you know, like a pinup girl or something. But a lot of lefty women still respond to those elements of the, you know, this kind of 50s woman with the hourglass body and her manners and how she acts. Now, how do you think that, why do you think that a lot of the 50s era, the 50s woman is being so attacked?
Well, I think that it's very interesting that there are so many lefty women who embrace that pinup ideal or that rockabilly, I think is what they call it, or, you know, it's the kind of a nod to that era and that time, but it's very rocker, kind of edgy take on it. So they've got a lot of black makeup, it's very exaggerated, and their costumes are very gaudy looking.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it's very costumey. I don't know exactly what's going through their head, but or what went through Betty Page's head, but when I think of the 50s, I really do think of the shows that I watch, Leave It to Beaver, the Donna Reed show, and the idea that family on TV is somehow oppressive or offending to people, when it's so much like my own life.
Well, it's so innocent. It's like, they're not hurting anyone. They're just taking care of their house and their pets and their kids. Like, what's the problem here? Because they're closet racists. It's too white, their neighborhood. That's the problem.
Exactly. And then you see in the 60s, you know, we embraced second wave feminism, sexual liberation, the civil rights era, the expansion of the welfare state. So there's a ton of stuff that happened in the 60s as kind of this rebellion to the traditionalism spike in the 50s because of it's a post-war economic boom, and it had the post-war family values, and people are coming together after the war and kind of deciding what's really right and true and good in their lives. And then you have the next generation coming up in opposition to that, and basically having a big teenager fit. And then it's kind of, it settled down a little bit, and then it got rebirthed again. And so you see the 50s woman, what has been attacked as something that's oppressive or stuffy, or because of these fallout movements that happened afterwards, basically in rebellion of like, well, I don't want to be like my mom. Her life was oppressive. When I've talked to several generations, several people in of that generation, one of my grandmothers actually was a 50s housewife. And when you talk to people of how it really was, because it's gotten painted. So it's either gotten painted with this strong brush of being oppressive towards women, or a strong brush of being oppressive towards men. And it's that idea of complementarianism. When you have gender roles, it opens up. You can make an anti-woman or anti-man argument out of anything. But if somebody's not holding up their role, it ceases to be complementarianism. So that's what I really like to stress, is that complementarianism shouldn't be offensive or offending to anybody. It helps the house run smoother. And if people get inspiration from that to run their own lives, I think that's a good thing.
I think the one good thing too about June Cleaver is that she wasn't a nag. She wasn't a control freak, right? She was just very calm and always in a good mood. And, you know, she didn't let things get too hectic. I mean, that really is a good role model, because it's hard in this day and age, in this modern society. Things get hectic and things get crazy. So that brings me to my next question. What kind of advice do you have for women, you know, handling a household that gets hectic? Because it's hard to get, it's easy to get ruffled up at times. So Ashley, what do you think?
Prioritize. You know, work on your time management, figure out what's important, what needs to get done. And people, they have this tendency to think about something and then not do it. So just don't think and just do it. Make sure it gets done, right?
Lacey?
Yes. So much. Get a homemaking binder. Write things down. Plan things out. I plan meals a week in advance, and then I go shopping on the weekends. And you know what you're going to be eating, you know, every night for a week. I also have, I think a good resource is organizedhome.com. You can print out things it's like sheet printouts, and you can keep them in a homemaking binder. I homeschool as well, so it does definitely get very hectic. And then knowing what you're going to have to eat that night, and then just going to the freezer and pulling something out at noon, and it's defrosted by 2 or 3, and then you start cooking at 4. Dinner's ready by 6. I mean, it just runs smoother. It's easier. Like you said, June Cleaver was a nag. You don't see her in the show getting all huffy and puffy. You don't see her throwing something at Ward because she let time get away from her, and now it's dinner time and nothing's ready. So time management and prioritizing, like Ashley said, planning ahead. Definitely staying organized is one thing, but also being easy with yourself and being easy with your husband as well. When you two come together, and at the end of the day, there really should be this kind of coming together as a couple. The kids are in bed. You can sit down, whatever you do together. We watch Red Eyes TV sometimes before we go to bed, or Leave It to Beaver. and it's just this time as a couple that you come together and kind of really relax and recharge for the next day, and have patience with yourself, have patience with your husband.
I think you also have to find your comfort level, your stress level. You shouldn't take on too much. If you're someone who gets stressed easy, you need to simplify. I mean, you have to be realistic with how much you can handle, and we can't always go on overdrive all the time, because our modern society is just overdrive. You have to take on all these extra things that is just kind of needless. What do you think, Ashley?
Just you need to be in charge of your life and make priorities. And for me, like, I have a giant calendar where I write everything down, and I know what's coming up and what needs to get done, and that helps me with my time management and keeping the house from getting too hectic, you know, with children and their friends and field trips and extracurricular activities. And it's really just about planning ahead and knowing what's coming.
Now, if we can get a little personal here, let's talk about your dynamics at home, you know, with your man. So what's the relationship like there? Do you let him lead, or how's that work?
Yep, absolutely. I let him lead. I try not to be domineering. You know, I like we talk and we discuss things together, and I let him kind of come to the conclusion of what is best for our family, and empowering him to be a man in the modern age that wants to emasculate him so badly, right?
Lacey?
Definitely. We do have a very much of a dynamic of he leads and I support. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have any opinion whatsoever. If I do, I definitely express that. I'll come to him and say, you know, this is the way I feel about this situation. But we agree on so much. Just, and that might just be our marriage and our personality types. We agree on so much that it's almost never a problem.
Yeah,
it is easier. It is. But like, just like Ashley said, in this day and age, when a man is taking authority and when he's leading, it's seen as something that is, you know, toxic masculinity. And what I really believe in, I'm Christian, so I do believe in biblical submission. I made a video about that. And I do believe in a wife submitting to her husband. Now, we kind of have a jokingly relationship about that sometimes. He likes to tease me, and I actually find it a little bit sexy. So
there you go. Oh, don't get into any shades of gray areas here. Okay.
That's as personal as I'll get with that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, most women like when guys, you know, take on the brunt of the weight. You know, most women don't want to carry the weight of everything, you know, in life. It's just a fact. You know? So let's talk about the ideal woman. I guess it depends on the kind of man you ask. Ashley, what do you think? What is the ideal woman from your point of view?
I think the ideal woman is someone who takes care of herself and takes pride in herself and in her family and in her home. And stays strong in her beliefs and is dedicated to what really matters, which is really family in this day and age.
Lacey?
I would say the ideal woman is somebody who is sure of herself, but sure of herself and embracing her own role, because I think that's the only way that we can really be true to ourselves, is embracing our roles as wives and mothers. So embrace that role as a wife and a mother, and seeing yourself as a dedicated wife and mother who will do anything for your family and your family's survival. And that extends into the survival of traditionalism, or the survival of your people, the survival of your nation. And when your heart really burns for that preservation, when your heart really burns for that next generation, that, you know, with growing up with the ideas and the values and the culture that you want, it's something so beautiful, and it means that you're living for something that's beyond today, it's beyond the here and now, and when you put all you can into homemaking, it's more than just making the beds or making dinner or sewing up a pair of pants. It's more than that. It's really embracing your life as a wife and mother. And I don't think anything is more revolutionary today.
I know, it's crazy. And nothing will make you more happier, that's for sure, as a woman. I mean, there are some women who maybe don't want that. There's always going to be some of that. But the majority of women, I think, are happier when they have a good man and a family. You know, well, ideal woman, I would say probably women like you too, especially for our audience, women that can, you know, bake cookies, have a flashy household, but talk about the JQ, like we joked around off air, you know, because we have to talk about, you know, we're in 2018, times are a little different, which brings me to my next topic, discussing politics. You know, all of us here do it. So let's discuss how to be a wife, mother, and fight against, you know, anti-white agenda. Ashley?
Well, I think it's really important that women take a role in this, because it's about protecting our nation. You know, traditionalism is linked to identity, which gives us insight into our history, our cultural identity, our racial identity, and our religious identity. And understanding our past helps us determine where we belong, and it strengthens our bonds as a nation and community. And when the leftists try to take away those identities and bonds, it leaves us as a nation, you know, vulnerable to Marxist indoctrination.
Yes, absolutely. Lacey?
Definitely. I would just reiterate what I said just a minute ago, that it's more than just you. And I think that, or just me, or just Ashley, it's more than just us. And I really kind of been discouraged kind of with women who, the majority of women who stay at home, and they're not open to these ideas or kind of being aware of life outside of your front door, especially within Christian circles. I've noticed that the statistics are that Christians don't go to the voting booth or aren't politically aware as much as they used to be in America, when they used to basically run the country. You know, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants used to run America, you know, before the 1960s. And I don't know if it's just that they've been beaten down and afraid, and now they don't care anymore, some apathy. It's just, I want to take care of myself and what my household does. And as long as we're fine, then I'll just, you know, keep my head down and go about my day. But when I think of what kind of world, and you know, YouTube, definitely it gets a little bit stressful sometimes, and you get comments and you get some criticism, and
yeah, you gotta ignore those because you don't know who those people really are.
Yes, but I talked to my husband. I said, you know, is this worth it? And he said, what kind of world do you want your sons to inherit? And that's really what I think is about, is my sons, the nation, you know, even after we're gone, this is still going to be here. What kind of state is it going to be in? So I really feel a strong moral obligation to speak out. And I always have. I mean, it started when I was in teenagers' years, speaking out against feminism. So I've never understood the mindset of, I'll just take care of myself and my household and not worry about anything else.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make sense to me, but
yeah, I think, I mean, women speaking out is a healthy, natural maternal instinct because you have your offspring to think about, their future to think about, right? So of course you want to be involved politically for their future. And let's face it, in this day and age, we need to be active. We need to be involved. We can't just sit around and bake cookies, right? Because things are pretty dire. What do you think, Ashley?
Yeah, I think a lot of our men and our husbands are afraid to speak out now because the left likes to attack, and they will take everything away from us. They will take away our livelihoods. They'll get us fired from jobs. They'll defame us in public. They, you know, they'll do anything they can to bring us down as a whole. So taking a role and speaking out against that is becoming more important than ever.
Lacey, anything to add there?
Yes, I loved your video, Women in the Alt-Right, and I loved what you said about embracing traditionalism and as well embracing the idea that women do have a role to play in this. Women can be active in this movement. And when I think about kind of the lie of women have had no agency in traditionalism or no platform to speak out in traditionalism, it's a lie that the feminists use to say that we're oppressed. And when you look at the history of the suffragette movement, there were anti-suffragettes who were women who spoke out. When you look at the second wave feminism, Phyllis Schlafly and her Eagle Forum, you know, led the opposition to the second wave feminism. So it's a complete lie that women haven't been fighting this thing the whole time.
And it's a complete lie, too, that their voices were never heard until they had the right to vote, right? Until these exactly. Marxists came and saved them. Women were active in all kinds of facets of society before suffragettes. So it's a lie that it was just this pack of Marxist women, and some who actually were racialists. Let's face it, some of them actually were, which Marxists are now attacked. You know, white feminists are getting attacked now by non-white feminists because of this fact that some of these suffragettes actually didn't want to live around blacks, which is kind of funny, watching them eat each other alive. But the point is, they didn't liberate us. I mean, what has feminism really given us, right?
Exactly. Well, it's, what has feminism given us? Absolutely nothing. It has taken away from us. It's taken away from the opportunity to embrace traditionalism without criticism. It's taken away the community of the traditional homemaker. It's taken away the economy that we used to have, that we could survive better on just one income.
That's family. A big one. Once women went into the workplace, everything changed. Tax structure, economy, I mean, all of society changed. And now, you really did years later force both people to have to go to work because everything became more expensive. Government viewed everyone as individuals versus families. So now people rely on a dual income. So there's a lot of women who would love to stay home, but they can't afford it. They have to work, you know?
That's right. Feminism gave us, all it gave us was an unhappy and fulfilled generation of women and single parent communities. It put our children at risk, and it gave us bias in the courts. It flooded the job market, which drove down wages, and it gave us immorality disguised as freedom.
Yeah, I also find that leftist women, the majority of them deny that women really want to be taken care of. They want resources. They want Prince Charming. You know, majority of women, they don't really care about going to work at a Fortune 500 company becoming super successful. I think it's a very small minority of women, you know. But really what happens is those women, they strive for that and then they just get in the daily grind. But what do you think the majority of women really want in life? Ashley?
It's hard to speak for all women. Sure. I know for me personally, I wanted a family. I wanted a home. I wanted to be there to watch my kids grow up. I didn't want to just drop them off every day with daycare while I go off to make the man, you know, the man more rich, the man being like, you know, corporations and such.
Lacey?
I do think that, you know, like you said, there will always be outliers in this when we talk about complementarianism and men and women having different roles. There's always going to be people who don't exactly fall into that. And there were when we had a more traditionalist society. But I do think that the majority of men and the majority of women do fall into that complementary roles of leading man and supporting a wife. And what that looks like can vary definitely between relationship to relationship or marriage to marriage, family to family. But I do think that the majority of people do fall into those gender roles. And what that means for women is embracing motherhood and embracing being a wife. And whether you have a YouTube channel or something on the side, or you're doing, you know, have a hobby, that really doesn't really matter at the end of the day, when we're talking about fully embracing motherhood and being a wife. You can be a wife and you can be a mother and you can do something else. But when you're going after something like a CEO of a huge company, that is your life. And that takes a lot of biological components that women don't have, like the more men have more risk-taking capabilities than we do. And when you're talking about having maybe women who want to have a career, that they need to have a career that will allow them to also be a wife and mother, because statistically it's been proven that women are unhappy not embracing the wife and mother. And when it, even if you don't want to be a full-time homemaker, although I do think that most women probably would be happier doing that. Even if you want to have a career in your life, you need to be able to pick something that you can still embrace motherhood and marriage. I think.
That's just right. You have to prioritize, and I say this all the time, prioritize your family, but you can still have other creative interests and outlets, and you can still do a video or a blog or do something on the side. Right. Or when your kids are older, you can pick up and do some of these other things that require more time. It doesn't mean like that's all you can do and you can't have any other interests. All the women I find that are the most deep and interesting and talented tend to be nationalist women, you know, that also have families, that also have all these other amazing interests and talents. So we're not saying that you can't have that. Like, you just have to be home cooking and cleaning toilets all day, right? I mean, there's more to it than that.
Right. And it's pretty simple for me. People need to eat. So there has to be somebody to cook. And as long as I'm eating, I want to cook the way that I feel like being a home cook is actually very controlling sometimes. So it really makes sense to me. People need to be able to eat, so there needs to be people who can cook. That's pretty self-explanatory. But then if you're in the American South and you see these really traditional, maybe church ladies. And if you've ever been in a church kitchen in the American South, and you know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Those aren't ladies that'll just sit down or lay down for somebody to walk over them. Church kitchens, people get pretty feisty. So it's the idea that you can't have some sort of opinion or that every woman in the kitchen is uber submissive. You know, I believe in submission, but the idea that, you know, we're just wallflowers, or just there to look pretty in pearls and heels, and it's really just that feminist lie that they use that oppression word. They like to throw the oppression out there.
Yeah, exactly. And generally, women that are more feminine, actually, they do get away with more. They're more attractive. They do possess kind of another kind of mystique and a different kind of mystery and a power, and people are drawn to that, you know. So, which brings me to my next topic. I mean, it's really self-evident that women are becoming less feminine. I mean, they're losing their feminine energy. They're becoming less attractive. Would you both agree with that, Ashley?
Yeah, I think being a traditional stay-at-home mom, you know, it's not hard to be attractive. You know, work out, eat properly, have a shower, do your hair, take care of yourself. It's really quite simple.
Lacey?
I agree with Ashley. I do see, you know, as women are embracing feminism, that their appearance means a lot less to them. Almost like they're trying to not be attractive.
Yeah.
So therefore they're not attractive to men. So therefore they don't have to worry about embracing motherhood or being a wife, because it's out there. You know, they're putting the vibes out there. I want to repel any of that. but exactly what Ashley is saying, when I do my hair and makeup, and honestly, I almost live in pearls. I posted a picture on my Instagram that I actually fell asleep in pearls. and then they fell off in the middle of the night, and I had to grab them from underneath my pillow in the morning. But it's really something that I started wearing on my first YouTube video because I really thought it would just bug the feminist, and it did. But I actually really like pearls, so I wear them constantly, like my wedding ring. It's something that it doesn't really take that much effort. And fixing your hair or makeup, I mean, working women do that. Working women get up every day, and they have to be somewhere at 9, and so they have to look presentable. They even have to wear certain clothes, and nobody tells me what kind of clothes I wear. But if I didn't have the confidence in myself and taking pride in my appearance, then I would be saying homemaking or being a wife or being a mother, being attractive to my husband, something doesn't mean as much as being a working woman. And that's just not true. So I do get up every day. I have a schedule. I have, you know, the kitchen is my time clock. My husband goes to work in the morning, so I fix his lunch and I fix his breakfast, and we have breakfast as a family. So it's very much like I'm clocking in at work when I walk into the kitchen. And do I want to do that with confidence? And do I want to do that with with looking like I take pride in myself and my home and my appearance. And so to me, not embracing that part of it would be kind of saying I'm less than a working woman.
Yeah, I think humans, we function better with some kind of a structure. For sure. I think right. I would say there's one exception when you have a baby, all that kind of goes out the window because you're feeding, you're not sleeping. It's just kind of chaotic. So like, it's okay to be in your bathrobe for several months.
Definitely.
Now you brought up clothes, and I want to get into this later after we take a break and kind of get into ThoughtGate with you guys. And I have not addressed this before publicly, but I thought that I would talk about it now with you guys. I generally try and stay out of some of the drama, and the gossip. But let's talk about real quick, sex before marriage, clothes. See, for me, I don't care if a woman shows cleavage. I mean, I've got a lot of great friends who dress quite conservatively, and I do myself, but I'm not going to fault a woman for, dressing a little sensual. I mean, there's a difference between dressing like a skank and being sensual and classy. Also, sex, I don't fault Christians at all, but it's okay, in my view, to have sex before you're married. But I know in our scene, is very divided about that with women, that they should be, pristine virgins before they get married. We'll start with you, Ashley. Comments on those things?
Well, it's not so much sex out of wedlock that is so bad. It's sex without commitment that is so bad, because that leads to kind of a degenerate lifestyle. But if you and your partner are committed to each other, like, I'm not married, we were just common law, but we have the commitment to each other and to our life, and that's what makes the difference.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I don't think you have to have a piece of paper, or you're probably more pagan oriented as well, too. Yeah, I can tell. So, I mean, it's about the commitment, the spirit, the soul. That to me is the most important thing. And you can be married with your souls, your spirits. Lacey.
Right, they used to call that hand fasting, right?
Yeah. Exactly, like the old Viking weddings, they didn't sign papers, not that I know of, and file it into right. The government, but they were married and everyone respected them as husband and wife. So, Lacey, comments?
Well, I'm going to sound really stuffy here.
That's okay. It's good to have some differences.
I do believe, I am a Christian, so it is stated, in our religious text that sex is to come after marriage. Now, does that mean that I think that women who fall short of that, or men who fall short of that, are going to go directly to hell, or we should condemn them? No, but I do think that we need to hold some sort of standard when we talk about dress. I don't fault anybody for looking attractive. It's the intent behind what you're doing, really. So there's definitely a line that can be crossed, but I don't think that, so all the rules and regulations and guidelines, I don't really have a list of all of that in my head right now, but I think that women should, I think that looking attractive is a good thing. I think that I try to look attractive for my husband. We've gone out on dates and a dress that he's bought me, and it fits a little bit tighter because he bought it for me. And so I don't think that that's something to fault at all. But I think the intent behind it is what's important. Are you trying to attract other men, or are you trying to look attractive for your husband? Are you trying to embrace this idea of sexual liberation, or do you have pride in yourself and you're committed to your marriage, those kind of things.
Clothing carries commutative connotations, right? So it's but your outward appearance is what you're communicating to the public and to other people.
Now, what about when a woman is single and she's kind of shopping for a husband? Does her clothes matter about what kind of guy she's attracting?
Well, I think you should definitely kind of present yourself as looking for, if you're interested in marriage, present yourself like you're interested in marriage. If you're interested in a one night stand, I think that'll come through in what you say, what you do, how you dress, how you act. So I definitely think if a woman is looking for marriage, then she should present herself like she's looking for marriage. Now, how, like I said before, exactly what that means. I don't know. Might be different for each woman.
Ashley, did you want to add something there?
Well, it's just about, you know, how we dress and how we present ourselves. It's communicating with others, and that's where problems can arise, is when you're trying to portray a certain message or anything, but then people don't take it that way because you're not presenting the right image for what you're trying to achieve, right?
I think it's great that both of you guys found your men at such a young age, because there's not a lot of women who are that fortunate, and they make some, you know, mistakes along the way. They learn some things. You both have really grown with your husband. You know, I've changed and grown a lot with my husband too, but not all women have that. So I think that we should take a break, and then we can get into Thoughtgate, because there's a lot to say there. Usually I don't do this, but if you want to hear the rest of the interview, you have to be a Red Ice member. I want to be sure our members are prioritized, because we can't do what we do without them. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Thoughtgate, and let's face it, it is gossip, head on over to redicemembers.com and sign up for a membership to gain access. Love you all. Thanks for watching. See you on the other side.